In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Christ is in our midst. He was, and is, and ever shall be. In this morning's gospel, Jesus goes to his disciples, and he asks, and he's speaking and teaching his disciples about what is going to be happening to him. They're going to be going up to Jerusalem. They're going to go, and Jesus is going to be betrayed by the priests and the scribes into the hands of the Gentile Romans, who are going to mock and spit and scourge him and then crucify him, that is, humiliate him, then kill him, and then on the third day he will arise. Now, an interesting thing is how two of Jesus' disciples, James and John, who, as we will see in a little bit, should have known better, came to Jesus and said, "Lord, we want you to do for us whatever that we ask you." And Jesus says, knowing what is on the hearts and minds of James and John, Jesus says, "What is it that I can do for you?" Now, just stop for a minute, and let's think about in our own lives. What if Jesus came to us and said to us, each of us, "What is it that I can do for you? What is it that you would answer truly, honestly?" Because Jesus knows already what is on our hearts and what we desire, even before we know what we want and what we desire. Let's hold that question for a little bit and go back to the disciples. Now, James and John, as I said, should have known better than to ask for the question, ask for the things that they asked, because they had just been on Mount Tabor with Jesus. And they saw Jesus revealed as divine. They saw his divine essence, they saw the uncreated light, and in addition to that, they saw Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. And this awesome sight that was Jesus did for their own very souls, that is James and John and Peter, who is also there, then to have the disciples come and Jesus says, "What is it that I can do for you?" And what did James and John want? They lusted for power. They wanted to sit at Jesus' right hand and left hand in his glory. Now, what is it that do you think that they meant by that, to sit at his glory? There could be a variety of things. They may have wanted to sit and witness Jesus judging the world and having the world of fallen men, especially the Romans, get their comeuppance. Maybe the disciples wanted to have some of the power that Jesus wanted to give. Maybe they wanted to have the levers and turn the knobs and push the buttons of whatever judgment is like in order to do all the stuff that they wished that they could do to their enemies. So this was their answer to what Jesus says when he asks them, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now back to us. If Jesus asked us what we wanted, what would our answer be like? Would it be God-pleasing? Would it be a God-reasonable request? Would it be a holy request that is Christ-like, that is different than all the lusts of fallen men in the world? Would it be God-centered, or would it be ego, me-centered? What kind of answer would we give? Now, the question that we should be asking, and what we could ask every day, is what should we ask for? And the Lord actually gives an answer before he asks the question about what we should ask for, by giving his example. He says to his disciples that he's, of course, going up to Jerusalem, going to be betrayed, going to be crucified, going to rise on the third day. And then Jesus says, the Gentiles, you know, they lord themselves over everybody. If you think what's going on in the world today with all the invasion of the Ukraine and the power that's being enforced, if you think that power was obnoxious and bad and evil, so is the power of the Roman Empire and the emperor and all of those who did their evil things in order to climb the ladder of power. They would want to compel everybody else to do what they wanted, use their force to enforce their own will, and if they got in the way, kill them, get them out of the way. That is the way of the world. And that's what James and John thought was in their minds what Jesus was going to be instilling. But Jesus gives the answer. He said, the Gentiles do that, but my disciples, they are the servants to all. If you want to be great, Jesus says, you need to be a servant. You need to look to the other people and for the betterment of other people. You need to look to what God wants and serve God. And if you need to look what God wants, then you need to look at what your neighbor and your brother, even your enemy needs and wants that God wants for them, and serve them. And then Jesus says, if you want to be the greatest of the disciples, you need to be the slave to them all. This is the hint that Jesus is giving to us of the kind of answer that we should be asking for. Some other things we could be asking for. Jesus, make me humble. Jesus, soften my heart so that I can repent and see my own pride and prejudice and sinfulness, and so that I can return to you and repent. Lord, make me meek. Lord, make me everything you said that we should be in the Beatitudes. These are the things that we should be asking if Jesus asks this question. In fact, if Jesus asks this question, what should I do for you? We should just turn the question around and say, Lord, what is it that I can do for you? What can I do to imitate you? I want your mindset and your mind and your desires, Lord, to be my mindset and my desires. So if Jesus asks us what we want, let me correct that. Jesus has always asked us what we want. And Jesus, because he is good and wants our benefit, is compassionate and merciful and respects our freedom as human beings made in his image and likeness, he has already asked us that question every day. And we should be asking him every day, answering that question with the question ourselves, Lord, what is it that you want me to do for you? Help us, Lord, to serve you, the living God. Help us become servant slaves to you by becoming a servant and even a slave to others to do your will, even if it means becoming a meek and lowly and humble, even humiliated servant, even to our enemies. May we do all things what it takes to do your will in the world. May we become all ears when we ask you this question, and what, Lord, can we do for you? And let us be all ears when we are hearing the response to that question. In closing, after liturgy today, walk around and look at the icons of the saints. Look how big their eyes are. Look how big their noses are. Look how tiny and closed their mouths are. But especially look at their ears, how their ears are like radar dishes, paying attention to what the Lord is saying to them. And let us be like these saints, where we are obedient, we listen to the Lord and what he wants us to do with our lives and with our time and with our love and with our efforts. And may we glorify God, and may we live with him in the kingdom of heaven.